CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
Believe. On CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
We're back with CJ and Fire It Up with CJ. Our guest today is Richard Bandler, and we're talking about neuro-linguistic programming. Now back to CJ.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. So we've been talking about Richard's new book, Ultimate Intro to NLP, and the book that I loved reading, which is the Ultimate Self-Help Book, Get the Life You Want. And so welcome back, Richard. I have a question for you. So
okay, fire away. That's what your ad says. Get fired up.
All right. So did you ever think that NLP, you know, like you said when we were during the break, you said this is something, you were like a one-man show. Now there's like hundreds and thousands of practitioners and master practitioners, and it's a worldwide thing. Did you ever think it would get this big?
Actually, I didn't know it would happen as quickly as it did. The truth is that neuro-linguistic programming has something which basically undermines the field of psychology in principle. The field of psychology has, starting with Freud, a basic principle that says the following, that something went wrong, and if you can figure out what it is, that through this insight into yourself, you will become a better person. Mm-hmm. So the basis of insight is that by exploring and archaeologically digging through your past and finding out where you went off the tracks, that somehow or other, magically knowing this, will make it so that your problems disappear and you'll be a better person. Mm-hmm. Now, I personally think the best thing about the past is that it's over. And neuro-linguistic programming, really as a basic field, says it doesn't matter what happened. What matters is that you keep doing the same things over again, so therefore you get the same results.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that was Einstein's definition of insanity, was doing the same thing and expecting a different result. What we do instead is model the most successful things and then try to figure out what would be next. So that if you change the way you think, it negates all of the things that you've learned. So that you, so to speak, you start planning. The difference between remembering and thinking is that thinking will produce new behaviors. Yeah, and if you think in a way that works, you can repeat it. Then it's worth remembering. Mm-hmm. But if you're thinking the same way, if you try to spell phonetically, you can't even spell phonetics phonetically. It's a ludicrous system. But mm-hmm. yet, every year they hand children these little books that say on the front of them, Pahonics. It's an absolutely insane system. And yet they don't just do it here. Now, if you were in Germany, you can almost spell German phonetically. Mm-hmm. But actually, if you're going to spell, you need big pictures of words so that you can copy the letters down. From common sense point, it just makes sense. Since mm-hmm. what you're doing is writing a picture, you need a picture in your head to copy down.
Yeah.
In fact, calligraphy is where you make the picture very precise, and you visualize it on the paper, and you trace it. If you don't do that, you cannot calligraphize.
Mm-hmm.
And teaching people what thinking produces a good result, because the people who are successful architects, you know, don't just visualize the building, they put it in the skyline. And they also go inside the building and find out how long it takes to take the elevator to the top and how the rooms will be. I've been in hotels that I know the architects couldn't visualize at all. To me, the difference between high-quality performance and low-quality performance has to do with how you think things through.
Okay,
to think is what NLP is all about.
What was the most ludicrous process that you saw? You're like, really? This is how architects think? I mean, what was the one process that you mapped out and you're like, wow, this is bizarre?
You mean of a successful architect or one that wasn't doing so well?
No, I'm just saying any. Like, you've mapped out all these different professions, all these different people. I know that interior designers are schizophrenic or similar, but which one did you map out and think, wow, that's...
Well, to me, I know more about the field of psychology because I kept looking for answers there, and I kept finding silly things. And, you know, there were... things that struck me as crazy. For example, Gestalt therapy, talking to empty furniture to get saner. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm sorry, but I don't think you're talking and hallucinating dead relatives and getting mad at them is really going to help you to become a sane person. You know, there is a lot of stuff like that. There's stuff that therapists do that makes schizophrenics look like they're really rational people. I mean, I've had psychiatrists look at me with a straight face and describe what they do, and I'm sitting there with my jaw hanging on the ground. I remember once going to a mental hospital, and it was like out of a horror film. It was so horrible. It was an old mental hospital. And having the director of training take me outside for a break, and casually, while I was sitting on a bench looking at the sun, he goes over to his car, pops the trunk open, pulls out a huge pillow and a baseball bat, and begins raging about his mother and whacking the pillow for exactly 3.5 minutes. And then he stopped and switched to his father for another 3.5 minutes and looks at his watch and then went on about some other relative, some Uncle Claude. And after a complete session of 12 minutes, he put his pillow back in the car, closed the thing, and when he looked at my face, he realized that I was in a state of shock. And he said, oh, he goes, I could fart for 12 minutes every day, at 11:45. And I went, really? I said, does that have something to do with astrology? And he goes, and he looks at me and he goes, oh, astrology is a bunch of bunk. And I thought, boy, you know, there's, you know, a guy throwing a big brick through a glass house. You know, a lot of the ideas of therapy had good intentions, but they didn't notice when they didn't work.
Yeah.
See, as a scientist, if the toaster doesn't make the toast hot, it's not a toaster.
And,
you know, I mean, to me, in physics, there are a lot of people that talk about physics, but they can't do anything with it. Their theories are elaborate, but yet they can't actually do something. To me, a real scientist produces results. And the measure of success isn't the theory, it's what happens in the world. And somehow or other in the field of psychology, they got way off track. That you know, it wasn't the client getting better or getting happier or having good relationships with their own family. They started to believe the relationship with the therapist was more important than what happened outside of the office.
I love it. All right, so we have Richard Bandler. Thank you. I haven't laughed this hard during an interview in a really long time. You are so much fun.
That's sad, because I'm not trying to be funny.
I know. There must be something wrong with my
mind. In the world, sometimes it just seems a little nuts. You know?
You're absolutely right. Thank you so much for being here. I absolutely loved it. Hopefully you can come back again. This is fantastic. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, it was a pleasure. Thank you for putting up with me.
All right. Big hug to you. Thank you so much. Okay, bye-bye. Have a great weekend, everybody.